From Friends, The 2½ Men, to Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Roger Abel has led an interesting life in Hollywood. The Oxford resident has spent more than 30 years decorating and dressing sets for a variety of TV series and movies. He was there when Friends went on the air 25 years ago. He was there for the first Big Bang Theory. And he worked on such films as Pirates of the Caribbean, Spider-Man 2, L.A. Confidential, and Wayne's World. So I can't wait to hear the stories he can tell. Roger, welcome to WVXU.
Thanks for having me.
So I just want to take it from the top. What is a set dresser? What do you do for a TV show or a movie?
Anything that you have in a set, outside of the walls, all the furniture inside, usually drapery, carpet, sconces, lighting, all of that is...
Do you also get down to the detail of the vases or the pictures on the back wall or whatever?
The tchotchkes?
Yeah.
I mean, we do that too.
What struck me is I once toured the West Wing, and throughout the West Wing, the Martin Sheen show, there were pictures of him as president with all these world leaders that they had photoshopped his face into. So if there'd be a close-up of somebody on the phone at their desk and the picture showed, it would look like Martin Sheen was there next to Prime Minister Thatcher or whomever it was.
Right. That was actually just down the street from where I was at Warner Brothers.
So you've worked on a bunch of TV shows and movies, but I wanted to start with Friends because you were there at the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now 25 years, the 25th anniversary of Friends. Did you have any inkling that this little NBC sitcom would become such an iconic hit?
None of us did. I mean, it's hard to really know that kind of stuff. None of us knew what that show was going to become. It was this real phenomenon. But the cast really clicked well together. They got along really well. And that first season was hard. We were on stage 5 at Warner Brothers, and it was this teeny stage. There was just no room to move. It was kind of a different format when it comes to sitcoms. I didn't know it at the time because I didn't have any television experience at that time.
That was your first TV show.
My first television show. So we just got into it and just started doing it. It was, as I said, a different format in that most sitcoms at that time, there would be maybe 8 or 9 different scenes, maybe in the 22 minutes that a half-hour sitcom is. And on Friends, there was 25 or more sometimes. There was a lot of really short, quick scenes, which was unusual
and some
at the time.
So that you'd have to create a tiny little set for those brief moments as opposed to Central Perk or the apartments that were the main sets that they would be on most of the time.
Yeah. Actually, that first season on stage 5, Joey and Chandler's apartment was what we call a swing set. It wasn't a permanent set.
Something you could roll in and roll out?
Well, it was. We stored it actually off the lot. It was some other place. So when we had that in the script for that particular week, then we'd have to create space on the stage for it. Then we'd have to go get it and put it up and dress all that stuff in. And we had to hold on to all of that stuff. So it was, it can be quite complicated at times.
I seem to think before cell phones, when they had people in a certain costume and they were coming back to the scene later on, they would take Polaroids. Did you have to do that where you take pictures of what this stuff looked like or what was on the shelf so that you knew when you came back to it, it would look identical?
Oh, yeah. It's set stills. I've taken reams and reams in my career of set stills. Yeah, I had books of them. And ultimately, with the advent of digital cameras...
Makes it a lot easier.
Made it so much easier. So much easier.
That cast, I mean, when I go out there as TV critic, and it seemed to me that we didn't see them that often because there's some contract disputes. But the thing that burns in my mind was that they were really tight.
Yes.
And that they all wanted the same pay.
Yes.
And they weren't going to have one person get star pay, Jennifer Aniston or whatever. You also did 2½ Men.
I did.
So you were there for the Charlie Sheen years.
Yes.
And then after that, when he left and Ashton Kutcher came in. So I'll ask the question this way. Was that cast as tight or cohesive as the Friends cast, or is it different levels?
Well, that depends on which time you're talking about. During the what I would call the debacle, when everything went south, things got a little less cohesive than they'd been before. At the very beginning, the first, 8 years of 2½ Men, it was a well-oiled machine, I'd say. It worked really well. It clicked. Cast and crew got along really well, and everything was fine. And then there was the whole Charlie thing that happened.
So I know that they do a rehearsal late afternoon, and then they tape at 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. when they taped the actual episode. Is your work during the day? Or are you there at night when they're taping? What was your day like?
Well, I mean, Mondays were always a day where we were clearing up from the week before and returning all this stuff that we'd had that we'd used the week before, and then installing sets for the coming week. They would normally come in on a Monday, and they'd sit down in the camera aisle, and they would table read. So they would read it, and then a lot of times they'd just go away, which would give us the rest of the day to get things ready. And then we'd have Monday, and then we'd have Tuesday morning where we'd get things ready even more. And then they would come in around 9 or so and rehearse usually till 12, 12:30. And then there would be a producer run through at 1 on Tuesday. And after the run through, the writers would go away, do their notes, and change whatever there was going to change. And we would know if there was going to be things that we needed to change on the set or things that worked or didn't work, as far as the producers were concerned. And then Wednesday we would come in, and it would be kind of the same kind of day. Hopefully we would have everything pretty much done by then, by Wednesday morning. And again, there would be what they call a network run through on Wednesday. So the big producers, would come in and the writers. So everybody would be there and they would all watch the show. And then at the end of that, they would go away again. And if there was more notes, then we would take care of those. And then Thursday was a block and shoot day where we would come in and we would typically shoot half the show. We would just come in with the cameras. There was no audience. And we would.
And when you say block and shoot, that means that's the positioning of where the actors were for that scene, have the cameras, from the front or the side or whatever.
So
they can get the best camera angles to capture the scene.
Correct.
For multiple ways.
Yeah. Okay. After we did that on Thursday, then Friday, we would come in and it would be a later call normally on Friday because we would be there later in the evening and we would shoot. We'd come in, they'd refresh what they call refresh cameras, which means they'd go over all the camera marks for the scenes that we were going to shoot that night in front of the audience. And then come 7 o'clock or so, we'd load an audience in and we would shoot the rest of the show that we had not shot yet. And that would usually start around 7 and hopefully we would be done by, on 2 and a Half Men, we were done by 9, 10, something like that. And then we'd have to wrap everything at the end of the night. And
Friends would run longer because there was more scenes?
Oh, Friends was a marathon.
I went to a Friends taping the last season. I think we were there to 12:30 or 1.
Oh, yeah. It would start at 7, too. And then it was not unusual for us to go to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we would do that with an audience. And then after that, the audience would go away and we'd stay there for another hour or two and do what they call pickups.
Pickups, just one line here or there that they need to tweak or whatever.
Yeah.
So you were also on The Big Bang Theory a little bit, right?
I did the pilot for it.
Did you do three both pilots?
There were three pilots.
I've only known of two pilots.
There was three.
I knew the one pilot where it was just Leonard and Sheldon. And then there is this drunk girl, Katie, that they kind of took in as a temporary roommate, and they had a scientist friend, a woman as a scientist friend. So that was either pilot one or two, right?
Pilot number one, we actually shot that on the Friends stage at Warner Brothers, Stage 24. And it was, I don't know the specifics, but I know that they were unhappy with one of the female cast. They kind of liked the way it worked, except for that. So we shot that, and then we wrapped everything out. And then that next, I think it was
like a year later, but it came back. I mean,
fall.
Did you do some pilots that just didn't go? I mean, because it's been my experience as a TV writer that there'd be all these pilots, and the networks would pick what they're going to use in May.
Yeah.
And the rest you never heard about again. Sometimes they'd burn them off, air them in June or July just to have some commercials around to get some money back on it. But it surprised me when I learned about it, the Big Bang Theory, that they spent literally like a whole year retooling it.
Yeah.
They liked Sheldon and Leonard, and they needed to get all the rest of the pieces around it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's exactly
it certainly was worth it because, again, that was one that you got to see it twice or three times. And again, that first time you wouldn't have guessed that it was going to be a number one sitcom for 8 years or something.
It was quite the juggernaut, that show. Yeah, we did it again. We did the second one. We remounted it on Stage 25 at Warner Brothers, which actually is where it ended up and stayed. And we shot it the second time, and that was when Kaylee Cuoco came in, and they had her. So that all worked. But then for some reason, and I don't know what the specifics was, so we shot that, I think, in October. I'm not sure exactly when that second one was shot. No, it was in the spring because they left it up during the summer hiatus. And then we came back after summer hiatus and we shot it a third time in order to be able to get whatever it was that they needed to do. So three times.
But they got a hit out of it. So
they sure did. They sure did.
So as you were decorating stuff, do any of the set designers or anything stick little things in the back just as a, like a personal thing, as a personal message to somebody or a little tchotchke that might be important to somebody?
I don't know. John Schaffner was the production designer for, luckily for me, he was the production designer on Friends. He was production designer on Two and a Half Men, Big Bang Theory, Mike and Molly. And he was also the production designer on The Ranch, the show that I was talking about.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. And not that I know of. He never said anything to me about it. So I don't know that he did that.
So when you watch a Friends or watch a Big Bang or Two and a Half Men, do you watch it differently to see the background or can you just watch it and enjoy the lines by the actors without thinking, God, you know, that curtain looks a little odd there. I really should have done something over here.
I'm not sure that I view anything that I see on television without having a set dresser's eye as to what's in the background. I think I'm looking at the background more than most people probably do.
Yeah. So you've also done movies and you've done at least two with Ron Howard, right? How the Grinch Stole Christmas and then Ed TV. What was he like to work with?
Very kind of congenial, easygoing guy. He was very nice. I didn't have a huge amount of interaction with him. When I started on Ed TV, I was one of the set dressers. I was in between seasons. That was usually what I would do in between television season. In the summer, I would work on a film, and that was what Ed TV was.
The Grinch, which people have seen throughout December, that was had such a distinctive look. Was that harder to do?
Everything was made. Everything was made on that. We had to make all of the furniture, even the lighting in Whoville. All of that lighting was the lead man, Tommy Simone, had to go out and have special strings of lights made up that were closer together than standard strings of lights. And we put all those things up.
When you say they were made, was that at a shop of people at Warner Brothers?
No. I think he sent out for that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And but that stage, you don't see it, but that stage, the stage that Whoville was on, you could see your breath on it. It was so cold on that stage. So cold. It was because of all the makeup. Everybody had all that makeup on. And if they didn't have it that cold, it would have been, you know, a lot of runny makeup.
And you did Spider-Man 2 with Sam Raimi.
Yes.
And you did Pirates of the Caribbean with Gore Verbinski, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
So those are two different directors. Kind of walk me through with either them or Ron Howard, all the impact that a director has in making a film. I mean, does he have it like with The Grinch? Is he deciding what it's got to look like and all? Or is that really delegated to an art director and a set director and everything else?
I think a lot of what you're talking about is prep work that is done long before we actually get into production. Most of those things are decided very early on. Especially, I know on The Grinch, the prep period on that was a month or two. It was a long time. Normally, it's not that long in a prep, but because there was just this extensive amount of stuff that needed to be decided and gone over, and the director's in charge of all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of meetings. What they do is they decide all of that stuff beforehand, and then once you get all of your personnel in place and everybody knows what they're doing, then they just go do that stuff. That's the way it works. And hopefully it all comes together. It's organized chaos. That's what a movie is.
So we have some breaking news here. You're actually retired as of December 1. Was that correct?
Yes, that's right.
30 years.
30 years.
So now you can dish on some of your favorite stars. When somebody says, hey, you work out in Hollywood, what's your favorite stories that you love to tell people?
Do
you have a favorite actor you worked with?
I just finished doing a show in Hollywood at the Netflix headquarters. It was the old Warner Brothers studios right on Sunset Bronson. It was called The Ranch. And we had some just great acting in it. Ashton, isn't it? Ashton
Kutcher?
Yeah, Ashton was in it. And Sam Elliott and Deborah Winger. And we just enjoyed, especially working with him. And Sam is an amazing human being, just really kind and generous, completely different than the character that he portrays on the show.
But you also, you know, like Matthew McConaughey, Jim Carrey. I mean, you've worked with some of the biggest names in show business.
Yeah, I guess I have. Yeah.
So at some point, do you wake up and say, you know, how did this guy from born in Dayton, grew up in Oxford, end up in Hollywood to have this career you had? Do you wake up scratching your head sometimes like,
It seems like it's gone so fast, you know? It's just like 30 years in a blink of an eye. It just seems like it's gone up so fast. But, you know, you get into it and you just put your head down and you work. That's what you do.
So when you went out there, how did you get started out there?
That's an interesting story, actually. I was living in New York at the time and working as a stage manager at the Public Theater in New York City. And to supplement my income, because you don't really make a whole lot as a stage manager in New York, I was working as a floor manager on a television show there. And also was working at the same time helping this guy I knew paint office buildings. And in one of those office buildings, I met the guy who owned this business. He and I kind of struck up a friendship, and he said, hey, I'm doing a movie this summer in upstate Massachusetts. Would you want to work on it? And I said, sure. Yeah, I'd do that. That'd be great. So I ended up hooking up with this decorator that I have known for the last 35 years and have worked with extensively over those years. And she hired me, and we did this crazy movie in upstate Massachusetts. We were one step ahead of disaster the entire time.
So what movie?
It was called Starlight, a musical movie. And I don't think I've ever seen it. So I don't know. But that was the first movie I did. And then Jerry, the decorator, she would call me up. I went back to New York, and she would call me periodically and say, I'm in Natchez, Mississippi. She'd call me on a Friday. And she'd say, I need you in Natchez, Mississippi, Monday. And, you know, I'd say, no, I can't do that, you know. And so I turned her down a couple of times. And then finally she said to me, look, I'm doing a movie out in L.A. next summer. Will you work on that? And I said, yes. So that was in 80.
The Laguna Heat?
That was Laguna Heat, yes. As a
87,
matter of
fact. 87. According to the IMDb, if we can trust it.
Yeah.
Harry Hamlin.
Yes.
Jason Robards, Catherine Hicks, and Rip Torn.
Yes. Oh, my God. I forgot about Rip Torn being in that movie. Yeah, Laguna Heat. And then 88, I did another non-union movie called The Big Picture. Kevin Bacon was in that. It was a big cast. And then
shortly after that, some time in there was Hot Shots, right? Didn't you do
Hot Shots? Was the movie I got into the union on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and that was probably late in 89, I got in on that. And
then you did Part Deux?
Yes. And I did Part Deux too. I sure did. Yeah.
Well, this has been great fun. I think my producer's going to shoot me here for running so long. But Roger, thanks for coming in. This has been great fun.
Oh, it's been terrific. So, thank you for having me.
Tonight I've been chatting with Roger Abel from Oxford, who's worked on dozens of TV series and feature films. On our website, wvxu.org, you'll find a link to Roger's TV and movie credits, at least as updated as they are on the IMDb. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Kieswetter. No one told you that was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke.
seems you're the only one who knows what it's like to be me. Someone to face the